Hello, and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a GoFundMe Heroes production. I am your host, Kelsey Little. In each episode of this podcast, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in other people's lives, or who's had their life changed because they asked for help and were met with the kindness of a community that was ready to answer the call. When a high school all-girls robotics team from Huntsville, Alabama, landed a seat at the Tech Challenge World Championships, they weren't sure they would be able to afford to compete. Lucky for them, their local community came to the rescue. Their presence at the competition made history, and they continued to inspire other young women and girls in their community by showing there is a seat at the table for them in the world of robotics and STEM fields as a whole. Hello, True Stories of Good People listeners. I'm so excited to be here today chatting with Emily King, Megan Quinn, and Eric Holsenbach, who are representing the incredible all-girl robotics team from Huntsville, Alabama, the Nerdettes. Thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I love that unison. Let's start with some introductions since we've got a big group here today. So Emily and Megan, you're both actually on the robotics team. And Emily, as I understand it, you are the most long-standing member of the team. Is that right?
Yes, I've been doing robotics for about 8 years now.
That's amazing. What grade are you in?
I'm in 11th grade.
That's so cool. And then Megan, you just joined the team this year. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then just real quick, what is the name of the school that you all attend?
Huntsville High School.
And then we have one from JP2.
Mm-hmm. Which is John Paul II.
John Paul II.
Okay. And Eric, thank you so much for joining us today as well. As I understand it, you are one of the Nerdettes coaches. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep. I was a mentor for 2 years and became a coach this year.
How awesome. I'd love to hear kind of how that came about and actually a little bit about the history of the Nerdettes and how it was originally formed.
Oh, okay. So our team started when I was in third grade, I think. I started doing robotics when I was around 7 or 8, and it was boys and girls, so it was a mixed team. And that honestly just wasn't working out for me because boys like to do the robot, and they think girls should do things like posters and all kinds of like not robotic things. And I was like, I kind of wanted to do robotics to like work with robots. And so we talked to my Girl Scout troop, and we created an all-girls team called the Grade 8s. And that was a team for 1 year, and that didn't do very well because it was our first year. So half of us dropped out. So then it was just 4 of us. And so that was the beginning of the Nerdettes, and we did FLL for 4 years until we made it to Nationals, which is in Legoland, California. And then after that, we decided to move up to FTC, which is what we're doing now.
That's so cool to hear the history of it. And Eric, as a coach, do you have like a particular history with robotics, or is it something that you've always done?
I don't. So I got involved because my daughter, Haley, is actually one of the programmers. She wanted to do it because she got an interest in cybersecurity and in robotics. So she wanted to join the team. And my background as an engineer just kind of came natural to kind of dive in and kind of help them with the mechanical aspects. So I got started as a mentor because she joined. And a couple of years, we've had a mentor leave and a couple of coaches that have left. And I just kind of naturally kind of filled in that spot.
Wow, that's awesome. How cool to be able to get to do that with your daughter, too.
Yes.
Emily, is someone in your family also a coach?
My dad is. And then my mom is a mentor. She helps us do all of our outreach stuff.
That's so cool that it's like a real big community family effort. I love that so much. Yeah, let's talk more about how a high school robotics team works. So you've got mechanics and programmers. And so like, how do those two things work together?
Haley and I write paths for our robot for the autonomous period of the competition. And so most of the time we are writing fake paths because we don't really have the full robot with us. We don't have all that it can do. And so that kind of comes in towards the end when our robot is looking more like a robot. And then we just kind of implement the different servos and motors that are on the robot that we implement those onto our controllers for the drivers like Emily to drive the robot during the teleop mode. And we also have CAD and electrical. So those are also two different sections that we have in a robotics team.
Yeah, there are a lot of different parts of robotics that like you don't automatically think about. So there's mechanical, programming, CAD, electrical. Then we have outreach, and we have all these like not robotic things that we have to do. So we have a lot of different aspects that all of us try to pile in to do. So most of us, we all work in our outreach, but some of us are like more into it. I do a lot of outreach, and then Megan will come help me a lot. Megan's a big helper with outreach. And so we work on that a lot together. And then Sydney will help us with outreach, but she's also she does mechanical with me. Me and Sydney are like lead mechanical. We're also the lead drivers. And then let's see, Ellen and Ava, they'll do CAD together. And so we'll tell them as mechanical that we need something to be built, and they'll go and build it for us, and we'll try to fit it on our robot. So there's a lot of working together.
I'm going to be honest with you. I understood like 25% of what you just said, which makes me know that you're going to have a very bright future ahead of you. Just like for our, I'm assuming our listeners maybe don't know some of these acronyms either. So like, what is a path exactly? Is that like a program, a route that like the robot will take or something?
Yes. So a path is basically, it is a route that the robot will take. So this year we had to recognize a capstone with our OpenCV vision sensing, which basically it's just a camera on the robot and it sees like a specific color. And it, depending on where it sees that color, like with like a certain area, then it'll go on a different, it'll use a switch case and it'll go through different paths for that specific area.
And what is the other one you said a few times, CAD?
So the girls will actually go into a software program and design something, and then we'll actually take it to our 3D printer and go 3D print that and implement it.
Wow, that is so cool. Okay, got it. My husband is a molecular biologist, and I'm just now realizing why he never wants to like tell me about any of the things that he's doing, because I probably wouldn't understand, but that is so impressive.
Neat stuff, right? It's literally like program management. You get a project, and then we got the parse it out through the team. Okay, we got mechanical, electrical, CAD. So each member of the team gets a certain function to go put together and execute.
That is so awesome. I know a big component of robotics, especially high school robotics, centers around competitions. And there's the big one that we'll talk about in a bit. But there's local competitions as well, and like levels that you reach before you can get there. How does that work?
Sometimes there's a regional competition. We haven't been to one of those in a while. But most of the time you'll start out at a state level. So this year, our first competition was in Tennessee, I think.
Yep.
And we got an outreach award at the Tennessee competition. So that was our first thing. And, you know, that's really cool. We got, it's a good award. But that doesn't get you to Worlds. So we went on to Arkansas, which is our second competition. And that's where we got our placement to Worlds. We went second place in Spire. And so that let us move up to go into Worlds. So, and then after that, we did Alabama as our last competition because it's our state. We weren't going to skip it. And we got second place in Inspire again, didn't we?
We did.
Yes, we did.
Wow. Congratulations. I mean, I don't think most people know how much you have to accomplish in order to go to Worlds, which we will talk about in a moment. I can't wait to hear all about it. But like, what does it look like? Like, say you're stepping into like day one of a robotics competition. Like, what do you see when you go into the area where is it just like a bunch of people with computers and robot? Like, what's happening in there?
Everyone has their own booth at a robotics competition. And most people have like tents, which we had at Worlds. And so you have all of your stuff in your tent. And how big is our tent?
10 by 10.
Pretty big. Big enough. And so we have our table and we have our robot and then we have our toolboxes and all of our tools to repair our robot. And we have our computers and everything that we could need if something goes wrong there. And so imagine 30 teams having all of these 10 by 10 pits, like scrambling with their robots. And there's a practice field in the middle that everybody's fighting to get onto so that they can practice with their robot before our real competitions. We usually have like six rounds before the final rounds. So you do those six rounds. And then if you do really well in those, you'll be an alliance captain, which is where you go and pick somebody else to be in your alliance. And that's the final four rounds,
An alliance.
Yes.
So the way the competition works is there's four robots on the field at a time, but two and two, there's like two teams of two, and you're in an alliance with another partner. So you actually have to work together with the other robot to basically maximize your team score. So it's not just your personal robot score, it's how well your team can do, because you can actually split out tasks and maximize your points due to that teamwork.
Wow, I had no idea. Is it like, is it a rush? Is it fun?
Yes. It is so fun.
It's 30 seconds of autonomous, two robots just doing their thing with nobody controlling it. And then a minute and a half of both teams controlling their robot and going off and actually physically commanding it, doing stuff. So,
and
yeah.
That's me and Sydney do the, we're the drive team for the competition. So we've kind of always done it that way. So me and Sydney have had a lot of practice. But next year, we're getting two more new drivers. Because I've had to drive the whole year and somebody else needs to learn.
True.
I'll do the arm. I'm not a very good driver.
Nobody wants to drive the actual robot. We have two controllers and one controls like the robot itself. So it goes forwards, backwards, like the actual robot. And the other one, it controls the arm and like the attachments.
Oh my gosh.
Think of it as a video game. It literally is like a PlayStation or Xbox controller, right? And if you're on a video game driving a car and shooting things, right, it's exactly what it is with all the buttons. You're driving speed, slow, movements. So, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Megan, I wouldn't want to do that either. That's too much pressure.
I messed up the robot a few times. One time we had like a weird thing here at UAH. What was that? It was a scrimmage?
Yeah.
Oh, we were at a scrimmage here at UAH, and I popped off the wheel that spins around.
Really?
I did. I remember. Oh, when the spindle, that's when we still had the pulley system.
That was a bad decision.
I broke the pulley
system. That's not on you.
Well, that is so cool to hear about. And so, as you've mentioned, you all actually competed at, it's called the first Tech Challenge World Championships in Houston, Texas. It's not actually the first one, though. I looked it up. It's been going on for about 15 years, it sounds like. Am I right in understanding that the Nerdettes were chosen to represent the entire state of Alabama at that?
Yes.
Competition? Congratulations. Yes. That's like a, is that like a huge deal?
Yes.
It is a big deal.
Yes.
It is. You know, there's how many? About 6,000 first robotics team worldwide. And so only 160 get to go to the world.
That's amazing. I hope you all feel super proud of even just getting to go. I read that over 30 nations from around the world compete in this competition. Did any of you feel like nervous at all or any emotions surrounding going?
Yes, we were very nervous. Me and Sydney, we drove the whole time, the robot, and it was our first time on like this giant stage with these huge lights and these reporters, because usually it's in a middle school gym. Like it's, I mean, it's up, it's fun, but it was on this giant stage and there were these bleachers full of people and there was these huge screens and they had these fancy recorders and they would like stick the camera in your face and tell you to get excited, which we were, and then we had no problem with that. And so, but that was, it was crazy. The feeling of being on that giant stage for the first time.
It was like an exponential level up of competition.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, a big component of planning to compete in an event like this involves figuring out all of the travel from, in your case, Huntsville all the way to Houston. And so to help cover the costs of this, you all started a GoFundMe so that your community could help you get there. I'd love to know where the idea for their GoFundMe came from in the first place.
I think it started off because we had a GoFundMe for, what did we have it for? Something like 3 years ago. For robotics, and it didn't do very well, but I was like, well, we're going to Worlds now, so maybe we should try this again. And we just had so much support from our community and people all over and grandparents, and everyone wanted to support us going to Worlds, and it was an awesome feeling to be that supported in something that we were so passionate about.
Amazing how well the community supported us and people out there. It was quite impressive how much support we got in such a short amount of time to get ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, so you ended up raising over $7,600 from more than 50 donors, which helped you make it to the competition. And yeah, I just love to hear, I mean, Eric, you just shared, but like, how did that feel to see so many people coming together to support something that means so much to you?
Yeah, I was overwhelmed by how much support we got. Like I said, it was in quick order, right? Because we found out and we had, 6 weeks between when we found out we're going to when we basically had to get ready to go, right? So it was a short window to accomplish quite a bit. And nobody on the team had ever been to World. So, you know, we're having to reach out to other coaches and people, kind of what to expect and kind of how much the expectation of cost and what to look like. And it was like, it was staggering figures we were hearing of what it would take to go, you know, take the team to world. And so it was, we were blessed, put it that way.
Definitely. There were also some great comments on the GoFundMe I was reading, actually, and I'm sure you've had some feedback from your community as well, or maybe like younger girls who are like excited to join the team someday, or you know, I just feel like you must be inspiring your community in lots of ways. Are there any conversations you've had or feedback from the community that really like inspire you to keep going with this?
Well, one of our biggest thing that motivates us is seeing other little girls get into robotics. That is something that's super important to us. So we have a little team called the Gear Girls, which are little sisters of some of our teammates. Aww. And so one of our competitions that we were at, they were also at. And seeing them compete and getting to watch them while they got to watch us was super awesome. So it's super motivating just to see like other little girls that are inspired by us. And one day that I think that they're going to do Nerdettes. So they're going to grow up from Gear Girls to be Nerdettes and continue our team. And that's one of our biggest goals, is just to get more girls into robotics.
I love that. Gear Girls is so cute for that. I love it. We must know, how did Worlds go? Like, what was that? Did people place at that? Like, what was the experience like?
People, they get a ranking. There was a winning alliance. It's like not one team, but it's like an alliance of three teams. We kind of knew going into it that we weren't going to be like the best team there. So we went and we had fun and we placed where we thought we could place with our robot, like with what we had. And so we were really happy with like where we placed, and we just had a lot of fun. We got to watch all the other teams with these really cool, like mind blowing robots. And they definitely deserve their higher ranking than us.
It's amazing just to see all the different concepts different teams come up with to accomplish the same challenge, right? And the different aspects that they use to get that. And some of these teams had some phenomenal design aspects to them to accomplish it, right? So it was pretty impressive just from that aspect, you know, from the engineer geek aspect, just seeing how all the people do different things is quite impressive.
That's so cool. Things like robotics teams or just access to being able to have exposure to things like this in school is so important, because often I think the general public thinks of STEM fields as like just left-brained or you know, without creativity. But in something like this, there's so much creativity in problem solving and in design. And that's just so cool that you were able to go see how a bunch of other people from all over the world approach that too. How awesome.
That's right. It's pretty neat.
Again, what an incredible achievement. I just love to know, like, you know, that's such a huge pinnacle to reach. What's next for the Nerdettes? Do you have any like big ideas or plans for this year or next year? I think are you both going to be seniors next year?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have any big goals for what you'd like to accomplish before you go to college?
Go to Worlds again.
We want to go one more time. My dad said that next year, since we were seniors, if we go to Worlds, he'd get us some of those fat heads, you know, the ones of like just your head and you cut them out. He said he could get all the seniors big fat heads to hold up at Worlds. And
we're,
you know,
mostly seniors.
That's a lot of motivation right there. So
that has to happen. And you must send me a picture, because that sounds amazing. just real quick, for anyone listening who's inspired by the Nerdettes and wants to support you all, I'm sure even though you already went to Worlds, additional funding is always helpful. Is that right? Like, what does that help you guys do in sustaining your program?
So every year we got more equipment we have to buy, right? So to be able to build the robots, there's additional things we got to get. There's yearly fees to get into the competitions, and there's travel to go to the other state competitions that we have to do. So any additional funding and help would be to offset those activities, right? Getting more materials and supplies and travel for the states.
Another thing that we like to, well, that we want to do with our funding is use it to build more teams and help other people get into robotics and show them what we like. And we want to, like, help our little team, Gear Girls, get more into it, help them, support them better. And that's another thing that we really want to help out with, and we can't do without all the funding. So it's really more about showing people why you should try robotics before you just put it off. You know, why you should want to do robotics instead of, I don't know, something that you think is cooler. Like, I know it's kind of nerdy, but I think it's pretty cool.
It teaches these kids a lot, right? So part of the competition, they actually have to present to a panel of judges, right? And I was commenting to Mark, the other coach, how much the girls have grown in the last 2 or 3 years just doing their presentation to the judges. Right. Just being able to witness their growth from year to year, how confident they become and how knowledgeable they come just in those presentations to the judges has been pretty neat and interesting from my standpoint. And it's stuff they don't always see. Right. But when you can step back and actually see the videos and watch it, it's kind of like, oh, wow, look at that. Look how much polished and confident they are.
Oh, I love it. Well, I just want to take a final moment to thank you all for chatting with me today, and congratulations again on your massive achievement. I'm just so impressed, and it sounds like you made Alabama very proud. So just
thank you so much. Thank you.
Huge congrats. And just kind of as a closing thought, something I love most about your story is that you all had a dream to attend this competition. You worked very hard to get there, and that it was made possible because you had the courage to ask for help from your community in order to make that a reality. So I would ask if anyone out there is listening to our conversation today and maybe has a dream of their own, but they're nervous to ask for support to make it a reality, what advice would you give to them?
Just do it.
Just do it. The worst you can hear is no. And just keep asking until you get a yes, I guess. Persistence.
And for the people out there, the impression and the opportunities that it gives to people out there leave a lasting, long-term, lifelong memories, right? And they learn so much and grow personally and hopefully professionally someday from these experiences.
Thank you so much to the amazing Nerdettes for being on our podcast today. If you'd like to support the robotics team, please visit gofundme.com/heroes. And thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People. If you were inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to the Apple Podcast Store and leaving us a rating or review, and be sure to subscribe to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. For more inspiring stories just like the one you heard today, please visit the GoFundMe Heroes Hub at gofundme.com/heroes, and be sure to subscribe to our mailing list so you can get heartwarming stories delivered straight to your inbox. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GoFundMe. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@gofundme.com. Special thanks to Nick Patry, who recorded and edited this podcast episode. He is the best. We'll be back next time with more true stories of good people. Talk to you then!